PowerPoint all about me.
Okay. Ryan, you might have to call me because
it's on.
I'm familiar with this. Yeah, I got that. Yeah. So I guess a call to the order. Call the meeting to an order. Has everyone got a chance to look at the minutes from March?
I have, yeah.
Can I get a motion to
approve? Motion to approve March minutes.
Second.
Okay. Motion, or what's the next?
All in favor say aye.
All in favor say aye.
I'll disguise aye. My voice.
All right, aye. Motion passes.
Okay, motion okay. Carries. Thanks.
New business, so I'll kind of change it around. We do have our new pool manager, David, here. I don't know if you want to kind of fully introduce yourself, kind of maybe give your, you know, a little backstory on your career, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I'm David Bauer. We just moved here. This is 3 years ago now. Kind of bounced around the state a little bit. I'm from Cambridge, Minnesota. Taught in Albert Lea, Rush City, Detroit Lakes, and that's when I came back to here. So a couple stints here. Going to work at there, be the pool manager this summer. I have a lot of pool experience. I swam in high school and college. I lifeguarded, taught swim lessons at a handful, like at Cambridge and Forest Lake and Rush City pools. I also coached at with a couple of club swim teams and at Albert Lea and Detroit Lakes. I was head coach there. So a lot of pool background and experience. So
you're hired.
He was already hired, but okay. Yeah.
Dang it. I second that.
I saw this come up. It was like, perfect. So good. About the one job I haven't truly held in the pool so far.
Good. Well, welcome.
Does anyone have any questions or anything for?
What are some of your ideas for improving some of our pool attendance?
Good question. I think it would be fun if we could bring dogs to the pool.
this is a joke, right?
No, I don't.
I know I got in trouble for swearing last time.
No, I think we're happy to have you on board, and I think it'll be a good change of pace, and we're excited for the future of the pool.
I will say on behalf of my staff and Park Board, we're excited to have, and for lack of better terms, a full adult. You fit all the criteria as far as your teacher. You know and understand how kids work for the most part. And pretty much the kids you teach are the kids that are going to be working at the pool. We're very excited. Obviously this year we want you just to kind of dip your toes in the water and let's see how it goes.
Sure.
If you have concerns, we're here for you. If we need to change things, we'll work on changing things. I want it to work for you and kind of see what you think is best. We've kind of, since I started, we kind of been just kind of running like a cowboy for, you know, mm-hmm. it's been up, down, ugly, good, bad, horrible. But I'm excited to see someone that's going to be present, someone that the kids can reach out to. You do have, like I said before, we have a couple senior staff members that are going to be a great asset to helping you. So if you ever have questions, concerns, ideas, don't be afraid to contact me. Really just wanted you to come and meet the board, and I guess if you have any questions or concerns, I guess now would be a good time to talk about it. Otherwise, you know, I just, like I said, wanted you to meet the board, and that's about it.
So, I'm Greg Kubal. I own the Hardware Hank, so.
Oh, I've
been on the park board.
Yeah.
So, and I've been on the park board for 33 plus years. So, I've seen all the way back to the old one, and so it's, you know, we're, I think, going again in the right step, not that we've ever gone backwards with the pool. It's just challenging. That's the biggest thing. So it's not a negative thing, but I think you bring a lot to the table that can really enhance things that we don't see, and that we always rely on our managers to see that, you know, they're just young students or young kids. I don't want to call them kids, but young adults, and maybe not even the adult age yet, but So it sounds like you got some great vision behind you that you can bring forward. You know, we just got to rely on Mother Nature to give us those days to keep the pool open. So.
We're getting there.
Yep. So, but welcome aboard. So.
I'm John Kunzel. I might have crossed paths with my son Harvey in school.
Yep.
I've been on the park board for about 4 years or so. And excited to see what I see because it's fun to get a great background and we're set up for success.
I'm not going to speak on behalf of Chuck, but Chuck Coleman is our chairperson for park board. He was unable to be here tonight. I don't know. How long has he been on board?
He's been on board, off board, and back on board.
Okay, well, how long has he been on park board?
Probably 20 years plus.
Okay, and then
I would say.
A city council member.
Yep. And then he came back on the park board here probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, it had to have been just before I started.
Yep. So so he's seen a lot of stuff too.
Yep.
You know, throughout, and it's not just pool, but you know, the park, the playground modulars, the everything.
Yep.
So, and he's a you know, great local person, so if he can remember like I can't. So but
we
yeah.
Can skip over Ryan. I don't really have anything to talk to him about anymore.
It wasn't my idea. It was Greg's.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I'm Ryan Christensen. I'm on city council, and I've been on park board city council for 4 years. I teach at the middle school.
Yeah. Johan Marsland, as I mentioned, I run the Train Child Center. I also pastor a church here in Casson and in Manorville. I cut my teeth on pool maintenance when I was 19, 20, 21 years old down in Key West, Florida. Ran a hotel business down there. The hotel pool, that is, not the whole business, but... So, been involved in it and through property management and that sort of thing. My first experience of the pool here in Casson was in 1997. My brother owned a house here, and I used him for land getting back from India. So, on and off, I've been a resident of Casson since 2010, when my wife and I moved here to start the works we're currently running. So, love this town, love its pool. I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to do with it to kind of make it more of a community thing. Oh, and I've been on park board for 2 months.
Oh, me
yeah,
also?
You got to introduce yourself.
Okay. Well, I am Ashley Avila. I'm an administrative assistant here, park board secretary, and really bad at training. I do apologize for that day you came in. It was a mess that day. But this will be my third season working here. With the Aquatic Center and the Park Board. I'm here for anything you need on the admin side, any ordering of items, paperwork, anything that you need. You just give me a call, send me an email. I'll be able to help you out.
We've definitely gone up and down with ordering and bless Ashley's heart for learning my rec as quickly as she did and working with my rec.
And still learning.
even with the ordering side, so, you know, like Pepsi, we have to order X amount of weeks in advance. We can't order, and I will help you with that because I've been the one kind of making that order. We used to, before I started, or I guess before I was in this position, we did Reinhardt, and then we shifted away from it because we weren't really necessarily ordering enough product. It was cheaper to go through these other avenues. But if you see something that you want to change or you have questions on, don't hesitate.
Okay.
I'm an open book. I'll take any ideas. One new thing we are doing is we are not doing slushies.
Yeah.
That has been a nightmare and a headache for the maintenance side of it. It's not saying that we can't go back to it, but we're going to find some alternatives to replace it, at least for now.
Sure.
But other than that, like, I don't want to seem too eager, but I'm very excited you're here.
Yeah,
so me too. I don't want to push you out of here yet.
No, you're good.
No, but I really do appreciate you reaching out, and I think the board would say the same.
Yep.
And you're going to have a great staff. We're very fortunate. I've been in communication. When I started, I had no idea what I was doing. You know, Ronnie, who retired, he left me wonderful detailed notes on things to do and how to approach things. A lot of them didn't work anymore, so I kind of figured things out on my own, but we are fortunate enough to have a full staff where there are other facilities that are looking for staff. We are fortunate enough to, I don't know if Ronnie's the one that started it, regardless, we hire in December. And that is such a weight off my shoulders knowing that we have a staff before, months before we even think about opening.
Sure.
So, other than that, we welcome you to the city and I hope you enjoy it. I don't want it to be a stressful job, so if you ever have any issues, please do not hesitate, reach out.
I won't. Luckily, like in my position, I shouldn't mention I teach health and PE here, in case you didn't hear or I didn't say it. So I get every sophomore in the school. So I've grown that sophomore up. I've already had a class. Yeah. So when I look at the list, like, oh, good kid, good kid, good. So far the staff roster looks
problem
good.
Problem kid,
problem kid. There's been a few like, yeah, you're going to be my manager. I'm like, oh, cool, do you want to do it the first day? What? Firing you. You wouldn't.
Well, and that's good to have a, you know, in this case, a teacher-student relationship. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to work with somebody that they know.
Yes.
Versus being bossed around by somebody they either know or don't care about, and all of a sudden it's like, well, why do I got to do what you're telling me to do as another student's telling a student type thing. So yeah. So I think having the adult figure there is, you know, something that we've probably never really thoroughly looked at in the past or had the opportunity to get, but you're here, you're not leaving, so.
Yeah.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks. Yep.
And I guess, you know, realistically on the more negative side of it, if you have issues, don't hesitate to make a decision.
Sure.
I back you, and I back your decisions. You know them more than I do.
Yeah.
I meet them for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. You know, 10 minutes max.
Yeah.
So you see them all year long, or you will be seeing them all year long, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Right now, I'm not concerned. Okay. There's a lot of good kids.
Good deal.
Good.
I guess other than that, that's all I got for you. I don't want you to have to sit here and wait through the whole meeting, so I wanted to get you in and out.
All right. Cool.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Just briefly, didn't we say we'd invite him in to just kind of throw some ideas out about how to promote the pool? Wasn't that in our last meeting?
That was part of it, but I don't think I want to put that on him yet.
Okay. Okay. I just want to make sure. We're going to do a little brainstorming session.
Up for it, absolutely. Yeah.
I won't tell you how great it is, but
I don't know if I want to implement anything yet. I want to see how the season goes.
Yeah. I don't think we were talking about implementing.
Yes.
It's just when we were talking about, you brought it up at the last meeting, hey, what are some ideas we can do? And we thought, well, let's bring in the pool manager and see what he thinks.
Yeah.
Maybe we can have a little brainstorming.
Just give you a few ideas that we talked about. It's, yeah. You know.
No, I don't. I mean, not yet, anyway. So, you know, last year was a different year. Like I said, you know, we've struggled with having a pool manager present. We look at, like, even, like, over the fair, we struggled to get numbers. And we had talked about, like, sponsor night. So McNelia Steel sponsors their employees during the fair. They pay for them to go to the demolition derbies. They give them, or whatever.
Vouchers or whatever.
Yeah. And they give them tickets for the rides and things. So we had talked about some sort of sponsor night. There was ideas, unfortunately, about dog night, which that is ixnayed anyway.
But that was the last day of the pool, though.
Yeah.
Or like having some food trucks in the parking lot, doing like a family night where you have food trucks so families can go have dinner and get back in and out of the pool without any big issues. And
so I guess if you have any ideas on the top of your head, that would be great to hear. Otherwise, throughout the year, if you think of things, that would be even better.
Sure. Do you guys do rentals, like birthday party rentals?
Yep, we do that. Yep, on the weekends.
Are we going back to singular, or are we?
It is back to singular. Yep.
Yeah.
What does that mean, singular?
So we used to have it where just one party could rent out the entire pool for a certain amount of time. last year we switched it to there could be two parties happening at once. People don't really want to share, I don't think.
Yeah.
No one went for that option last year.
I'm quite surprised that no one wants to share the cost of it.
They want the space.
But they want the entire pool to themselves.
Yeah. When their 80-year-old grandma and grandpa come, they don't want to have to deal with the other kids from other groups. Yes. And they want their family time.
So in general, like, how is attendance? Is there, are you trying to get more numbers because attendance is low?
Our attendance has varied, obviously, throughout the years. Our biggest contributors are, like, JLH, like the daycare groups. We have gotten a lot of groups out of Rochester that come in and utilize the pool. I obviously, with the new pool opening in Rochester, we've kind of taken a hit to an extent, but I think we still draw in. There was quite a few buses from Rochester last year. I think just because of the fact that it's a little bit smaller, it sounded like the new Rochester pool was packed all the time.
Sure.
But on some of those off days that we don't have those groups coming in, we're not at capacity. So I guess even, and it doesn't have to be during the day, even just trying to get citizens or community members to utilize the pool during the evening hours.
If I bring my family, what's like the pay? Is it
like the cost?
I would have
$7.
It's per person, right?
For the day, right?
For the session.
It does close at a certain point, doesn't it? Yeah.
So I guess a thought, like, could you? Because I think we did this in work for our city. They did like a twilight hour, so it's like the last 2 hours was at a discounted rate. Just help get like kids in after work, but I'm not spending $28 for my family for 2 hours. But if it was 16, maybe we get a little bit more in. Golf courses do that.
Yep.
So maybe I don't, like I said, I don't know exactly how it's set up either, but that could maybe be a
option.
One to 3 hour option of just a discounted price to help pull people in the evening.
What is our event rate?
$300. Mm-hmm. Is it 2 hours?
2 hours and up to 25 entrants. Yeah. So any additional entrants after that would be $3 per person.
Sometimes you'll have 10 people and sometimes you'll have more. Just depends on the party.
Yeah. Another quick thought I had, do we get a lot of tournaments in Gadsden, like basketball, soccer, etc.?
During the summer, there is softball, baseball tournaments. I wouldn't say it's a lot.
Yeah.
Golf tournaments are here and there.
Sure.
What are your thoughts on that?
So, like, if there was, like, a youth sports tournament, throw a discounted rate at them, try to pull them in when they're done, a little team bonding or whatever.
Sure.
Cool off, too. Like, just play baseball from 10 to 2.
And that'd be something, you know, you'd be able to pick up off the school calendar.
Yeah.
So I think some of the, our low attendance they're talking about is during the fair.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's at the fair, so there's nobody at the pool.
Yeah.
And we don't want to leave their kids at the pool and somebody else goes, so we're not want to be babysitters. But in this sort of case, if we were to open up, if somebody wants to donate or buy that Saturday night or Saturday all day at the pool, like Bedelius, Cam Telcom, Hy-Vee, something, you know, that way their students or their faculty, their staff, their kids, their whoever wants to go there is on Cam Telcom and they'll just say, here's your free pool pass. So that case, but we don't have a dollar figure set, we have nothing in mind, but that'd be a way to say, okay, here's a session like Bedelius to pay for the fair.
Yeah.
Let's have Cam Telcom, just to put up a name, say, well, you can go to the pool, that type of thing. And also during Festival in the Park, all the activities are going on at the park. Is that a downtime for the pool? Does somebody want to rent that 1 day or 2 days or half a day or whatever? just to try to say, at least we can get some income coming off it if we can find somebody that's going to. Yeah. So that type of, you know, slow time or downtime or, you know, evenings, you know, I guess I'm not enough to wear the pool attendance of who's all where and where it all breaks down, but I'm sure they've got some notes to. But, you know, anything at this point, you know, we're looking for brainstorms and we're coming up with, you know, you've been around a pool, so you've probably seen a lot of stuff.
Really done events at
pools. But this is, you know.
Our city did one big, they did like a fundraiser on a Saturday, and they had like the dunk tank there and stuff. Who I work for is still running that pool, so I could reach out to him and see exactly what they do.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember they did this big fundraiser. I don't remember the details because it's been, well, like 10 years now.
Sure.
But I remember they had different kind of like events and stuff. I think probably some raffles set up around too. They called it like the Big Splash Day, and then they got us pizza set.
You know, I just kind of thinking, you know, we have Festival in the Park. I don't know. I guess I'm not sure on the date this year, but it's like the second week of August, usually, first or second
something
week.
Something like that.
You know, that would be a great contribute to Festival in the Park to do something like that. Like you said, like the dunk tank. We do host the belly flop contest, but after that, it's pretty much, it's done. I mean, that's it, and whatever. It would be nice to kind of make it a full day, you know, event, if possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was about the only thing I really remember ever that we did that was kind of like a big day.
Okay. Well, it's just something, I mean, because we really don't know.
Yep.
So,
you know, how do we... Yeah, I know pools are tough, and I know pools lose money more than they make money. And
it's the maintenance, the paying of the lifeguards and the staff that they don't realize how much it costs to keep a pool open in a day. Yeah. You know, it's not like, oh, it's free. No, it's not.
No.
You know,
no.
Nothing's free. Nothing comes at no cost, so...
Yeah, far from free. Yes.
Right.
Well, as you're talking, I have a couple of ideas from the margins. Just, you know, take them or leave them and just throw things at the wall and see what sticks. We could talk about partnering with our workout centers to do some pool aerobic type things on the margins of our hours.
Yep. So there was some talk about that, like availability in the morning, because we have morning swim open to the public. And there, you know, I don't know if it was ever started, but there's some like water aerobic weights. I don't know what, I have no idea about that stuff. But that's definitely an option. You know, Tim and I had brought that up, and trying to, at one point we were going to try to partner with like Community Ed with that. Just hasn't gotten anywhere yet.
Kratos, and we've got 507 ABC if one of those.
The biggest thing is finding someone to instruct those classes.
Right, that's why I talked to the ones who are already doing classes. Yep. They may be interested in doing something at the pool. And if we, you know, get them a rate or whatever. Also our elder care facilities. They really benefit from the motility that you can get from water exercises. We could talk to them about some of our margin hours. The care facility is just around the corner there from the pool, so. Not everybody there would be ineligible for that, but that'd be one. And then the other idea I jotted down as you're talking, I love these sessions because I just think of things and then, you know, throw them out there. Perhaps bringing in something that would be exercise activity to make you want to get in the pool, like a bounce house or something, like a weekend fun day. I know we do some casting in the park, but for a small investment, you could bring in a lot more people. If they had the availability for that, we might even be able to rent it from somebody who rents those kind of things, you know.
I know one.
Dive Center does aerobics. I don't know what their program's like at all, but they have it over there.
Do we do water Zumba class at all?
Oh, and the one other idea I had, a flyer for churches. Have a Sunday after church special. You all come on in. We'll have a special rate for, I don't know, ecumenical day. Whatever you want to do. It'd be a way to promote the pool to a crowd that wouldn't normally come.
Baptize them and get the pool. Blessings at the pool.
Hey, I've actually been to a baptism service that used a water slide. The pastor and a person would go down the water slide, all the way down, and be like, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the...
And then, holy smokes!
They were Pentecostals, you know.
So it's just, you know, we're so open, there's probably so many things, but,
yeah.
You know, but we can't think of them. If there isn't that many things, well, we're trying to think of more. It's just, you know, and listen to the kids that are doing the... You know, your employees are at the pool and say, hey, what do you guys think would be fun here? Give me some ideas.
Sure.
You know, get them involved too, so.
Some low-cost ideas that can bring in some extra revenue.
Yeah.
Bring in the numbers, get families to come, and not make it just not just a babysitting center, because that's part of what it becomes in the summer. We all know it's been that way since I was a kid in town. Your parents just tell you to ride your bike over.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure behaviors are at the right point where they need to be at, too.
For sure.
There we go.
People that don't usually go to the pool or don't think of the pool, and getting them thinking of the pool, you know, that sort of thing. Or the off times when, you know, we have more staff than we're making money.
Yeah.
You know, weekends or whatever it is. You know, what can we get a few more people just to make it work?
And you will have parents up in arms on Facebook if you close the pool for certain things and not certain things. So just plan. You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But just be aware that you shut it down when the sun's out because there's nobody there. One parent that wanted to go will make a comment. Just ignore it.
Take a peek at last summer's Spotted in Casper and you'll get a flavor for what it's
going
to be.
I will stand by what you decide to do, no matter what.
Appreciate that.
Well, I think we got it.
So the dog thing is...
Except for that.
Just
I know that was not...
Getting clarity.
You'll never know.
I think we do have a few, actually, good ideas. I think, realistically... I guess what we expect out of you this year is let's get you there, let's see what you think, let's see what we can do better. And if you do have ideas, I guess on my part, I can reach out to Dodge Center if they do, you know, a water aerobics or Zumba, you know, see what that entails, see if maybe that individual, what their schedule is, see if they can't come to CAS and whatever. The outside fun day, that could be something where we could bring in food trucks and, you know, the rental of a bounce house would probably be next to nothing if we're bringing in these food trucks with all the patrons coming in. Definitely there are some good ideas. Let's see how this year goes and let's try if we can start implementing some of these. Let's do it.
Yep. You know? Just get a feel for this year and then next year we'll have a better idea. So,
like I said in my interview, I met with you about the job, but I'm not always great at like, hey, here's all these great ideas, but when I'm in it, I'm not afraid to ask questions, and then when I actually get to see what's happening, that's when I'll get
right. And that's where
you're better hands-on, figure it out as you go, ask questions as they come.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to ask questions here.
I appreciate that because I don't want you to go into it feeling you're alone. I don't want you to think that we don't have your back or anything like that. We're here. We'll stand by you. We'll help you with anything you need.
I appreciate
absolutely.
That. I think a lot of this vision is not necessarily just for this year. We're already looking to next year.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So as you're learning, it's like, oh, we should have done this. Well, put that on next year's agenda.
Yeah.
That we can work on. So it's nothing that we're talking about is say, this is this year's stuff.
For sure.
It's not. It's if this is your learning stage, and we're going to grow with this, hopefully.
Yeah, because right now I don't know what I don't know.
Right.
So once I know things.
Right now you know everything until you get there. Yep.
You're going to figure it out real quick.
I'll have better answers and stuff.
My staff is up at the pool daily.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to reach out if you have any questions.
Yeah, we'll do.
Anyone else got any questions?
We didn't scare you away, did we?
No.
Okay, good.
Well, you seem pretty relaxed.
I think you're up for the challenge, knowing it's like, the kids, the pool, you've been around it. Let's just get there and go from there.
Yeah.
Yep, I think you'd be fine.
Thanks, I think so.
Well, I guess if that's it.
You can stay or you can go. I mean, from the meeting, that is, yeah.
As far as it sounds, I think I might go home at that time. Which maybe is less fun.
I'll trade with you.
Yeah, if it goes well. If it doesn't, maybe I'll come back.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Yep, you too. Thanks for coming in, so.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
You too.
Thanks.
Okay, next is Festival in the Park staff. Ryan, this is kind of more on you.
Yeah, I reached out to the council, not at our last meeting, before that council meeting. And I think we were all in agreement that we would like the festival board or festival committee to pick the person they want to do the cleaning. And we would up our donation from the city end to cover that cost so that they pick that person and they're not an employee of the city for the weekend. We don't have to deal with paid family medical leave. We don't have to deal with all the other things that come with hiring someone short staff, short term, and then opening it up to all the other applicants, if there are any other ones. Just allow the park board to, or the, not park board, excuse me, the festival board to determine who that person is. So we need the festival committee to kind of work with Tim and figure out how much that would cost.
And I don't know what Christine's role is on festival at this point anymore. But
she's still involved.
Okay, yeah. So I could reach out to Christine and just say, hey, we're at the point where we don't have a problem with increasing the rate that you pay someone. We just want to essentially shift it over to you're paying them. We will increase our donation from the city side.
Yep.
Is that what I'm gathering, what Tim kind of...
I think we were all in agreement on that, yeah.
Okay.
Easier for us to do that.
I mean, I agree. It's obviously, I was fortunate enough to, when I got into this position, that Christine had relatives or family to help assist in that. I know in the years past, Ronnie struggled to get staff for doing garbage. I guess, I don't know, I think it's fair to have festival take care of the staffing for the garbage.
Well, it's their festival.
Right.
We're donating our park. Do they rent the park that weekend?
I guess I don't know. I don't think they do.
So you
know,
don't.
And they use our equipment as far as like the
facilities. Yep.
Facilities.
So there's no reason why they say, well, we got to find the garbage. You know.
Right.
I'm a true believer. This is part of their festival, their events.
And they do everything else the way it is. Yep. You know what I mean? And why wouldn't staffing be part?
That's all part of what I think. The city's just been kind enough for Ronnie in the past, or Christine and her family. It's like, well, we need to find somebody, so okay, let's find him. Now let the city pay him, or
right.
No, this is the festival. It's got to find the stuff out, you know.
I think it would be a fairly easy.
So I agree. You know, we're going to donate some funds to help them pay for somebody. So I agree myself.
Can I get a motion to have festival take over the paying of the employee or staffing for
the hiring and the paying?
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll make a motion to have the festival committee do the hiring and the paying.
Yep.
And
we'll
for the cleanup.
Can we make a motion to tell an organization what to do?
I don't know. This is new for me.
I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can. I don't know if we can.
So.
Can I say I make the motion to relieve ourselves from taking care of the hiring?
I think we wait to make a motion or move towards anything until after they talk to Tim.
I was all excited.
Okay.
You might not even have to say that they hire. It's really they coordinate the trash.
Yeah. Let's.
And we will donate these funds for them to coordinate.
Why am I sitting in this chair? You should be over here.
That's why that one's empty next year. You might get too close.
Here's the deal. I'll reach out to Christine, feel her, like, see what her thoughts are on it. I'd be surprised if she has an issue with it. And then coordinate with Tim and see what kind of logistics.
See what Tim's going to come up, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not the city's burden to try to find and hire.
Which makes sense.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. That's what I will do.
Okay.
I guess next on the list is ball field lighting. So I was informed by JJ and Christian Unger that
they will be removing the lights from the JV field, the JV football field. I don't know if any of you have drove by that field recently, but there are two whole like sets of lights hanging by wires. I don't know. They all work. At one point, they all worked.
This is the field over in that picture over there next to the on the right there? That field?
No.
The JV football field is...
JV football field next to the varsity field. Yes.
Between the baseball fields and the football field.
So, essentially, they're removing the lights. They're getting rid of the lights.
Oh.
I talked to JJ, and I said, I want the lights. They are very similar to what we have at North 1 and North 2. The way I looked at it as extra parts... it's a way for us to capitalize on something that's free and to have spare parts and things to, I guess...
Maybe use it on the parts of the park.
To limp our system through another 10, 12 years. That's what... We're moving forward with it. So as soon as they get them taken down, we're getting them.
Okay. And that could be something that... You know, possibly could be put at the Lions Park.
I won't ask now.
Well,
I just know that on the city side, if we're going to not use anything like a pergola or anything that's over a certain dollar value, we can't just give it away. You have to auction it off or post it. I don't know if the school has to do the same or not. Have you checked in with JJ on that? Or?
Well, I don't know. JJ just said they're yours.
Okay.
I'm going with that.
I just don't want on our end to get in trouble for taking something we're not supposed to.
And that's fair.
So if it happens to be that the school has to auction her.
And I don't know. I don't know how much they cost. If it's under a certain value, I don't know if you have to. But
they all depreciate.
Yeah. So that's my only.
They've depreciated to nothing.
Yeah.
That's, so they might be worth nothing to the school.
That's fine.
Okay.
Regardless, we are getting supplies to, you know, get our...
There'll be some lights that will be getting that.
Because there's, you know, unfortunately, there's lenses on our current, the cans that are missing, which in return, you know, the bulbs don't last because weather gets to them, whatever. The ballasts for the lights themselves are hard to get, and they are very expensive. Like, they don't make those ones anymore because they're that outdated. At some point, we're going to have to try to switch to LED lighting, which would obviously be more beneficial as far as...
Can't we put some of this onto the street department with all the LED lights that they have?
Yeah, well, that's electric department.
You could piggyback with electric, yeah.
And I have worked with Jared... In the electric department, we have discussed working on trying to maybe change things over, but this was an opportunity that I figured I can't pass on.
We can always get rid of them.
Right. So, I guess okay. I just wanted to give you guys a heads up on that. We don't need any motion for that. The next thing is, Johan, you're up, buddy.
Thanks.
I did print off some sheets. For you guys to kind of, well...
Ooh, it's a big one? Yeah. Little one.
Oh, you want a bigger one?
No, this is good.
Okay.
You can take it. Just by taking a moment to bring everybody up to speed why I'm here presenting this. My school has been using the disc golf course here in Cassin since it was still over at the Lions Park, which before Topco came in. We had, I think, a year or two before that happened. And then the golf course moved over to Lions Park, and I heard some talk at the city council meetings that I attend that, you know, maybe we should do some different things with Lions Park, put in a soccer field, et cetera, like that, that would then make the current disc golf course need a redesign. I heard that last year, and so I talked to our students about it and said, hey, wouldn't it be great if we could be part of helping to redesign the course to make it a little... more of an advanced course. And then I found out last fall, and I attended the Manorville City Council meeting as well, that Manorville is putting in a beginner's disc golf course on St. Island down there in Park. So there's really very little need for two beginner's courses in the area. So we've been dreaming about and thinking about what could we do to help improve the course. When we've gone out there for PE dates, we play around with different possibilities for holes, play in some of the areas that they are, and throw from some different places. So anyway, we had some idea of what we might like to do. So when I talked to Ben, he said, yeah, we're kind of getting a little more serious about those soccer fields. I thought, well, let's put this in motion at the same time. The goals I set for doing this course was I wanted to make something that would bring people to CASA. Our current course is pretty much for CASA residents. You're not going to have a lot of people come in for the level of course we have. It's what you consider a beginner's course. You want to just go out there and throw a frisbee around and hit some chains. It's good for that. To bring in people to CASA and understand that the disc golf community will travel up to an hour away on a regular basis to go play a good course. I'll go down to Stewartville, I've been down to Spring Valley, go to Owatonna, go regularly to Rochester to the Driftless course. If you're going to have a decent course, one that you could play a tournament at, you have to have a little bit more challenge to some of your holes, a little bit more length, and you want to have 18. Very few people are going to come into a town and play a 9-hole course unless it's nearby. So I thought, if we're going to invest a little bit of effort and money, why not make it into something that will attract people to town? So I contacted the Rochester Disc Golf Association. Their president came out and he kind of looked over some of the ideas we had and kicked around some other things with people. And I've come up with a course map. I send it out to you. We're trying to take advantage of the edges. Trying to put a disc golf course in Lions Park while enabling Lions Park to be expanded in its usages. So you'll see that the way I drew it up to begin with, I started over here where the disc golf course was. In the former iteration, this is hole one here in the old Lions Park where that little bridge is, it goes across. Where you put hole one is inconsequential. As long as the course loops, you can stick it anywhere and say, oh, this is one, and we loop all the way back around 18. In looking at this, there were some concerns that we wanted to make sure we addressed early on, and this may still need to be some modifications that we make. Number one is, we don't want to have discs thrown into walking paths, and we don't want to have discs thrown into private property. So this first section of the course, it's somewhat narrow, so it may be actually more conducive to move this first tee a little farther down here so that the discers are coming out this way to land just on the south side of the creek. That'll keep almost all, except for the very worst of throws, from going over here into the private property lines. Will there still be a disc or two to land on private property? Yes, just like on any public golf course, you're going to have an occasional stray ball that lands in somebody's yard. But I think we can keep that to a minimum. We then modified our second hole, which is using this area here, to include what's called a mando in disc golf. In other words, that is a mandatory marker you have to reach. So instead of throwing from here to here, which would, again, take us across a corner here, there's a lot of space. The first map I sent you showed property lines, and I have it on the back here. There's a lot of space there you can go around, but we're going to go around this tree that's already existing, say you again must throw out this way, and then you can throw down this line to keep people off the line. Those two holes are actually quite good for a disc golf community to start. They have good distance. And the second hole being tucked into the woods makes it a good challenge. The first picturesque hole of the course would be number three and number four, which would take advantage of the brand new retention pond that's there. It's a beautiful water feature. You'd stand up on the edge of the pond on the northwest side, and you'd throw out over the pond in a looping course that then comes back in towards Maston Creek. Disc golfers love water features, and since there's a new water feature there, I thought, let's take advantage of it. All of this woods in here is currently just in thorns and brush. It can be easily mowed back. Well, easily, if you ever mowed thorns. It can be mowed back with just standard labor to make a nice green, they call it, though it's not really a green. It's more like wood chips when you put the new basket there. I see some of you are like not disc golfers, so I'm not going to go into all the features of what we're doing. Do know that these are the kinds of things that I'm trying to look at doing. How can we make it picturesque? How can we make it attractive? How can we make it challenging? And how can we make it fit in the property that we have? Next hole goes over the water. This one comes out to pretty much the placements that's there. Our professional disc golfers that I talked to said maybe a better placement would be a little bit farther to the east. This hole drops down into this wooded area. There's a beautiful grotto. If you go walk by there, there's a big, giant oak tree in the backs of this thing that if we clear out a section in here, it'll just be a beautiful place to throw into. And it'll actually be a great addition for a walking path, somebody going by. Many disc golf courses and municipalities are used secondarily for people who are walking. They just walk out of the way of disc golfers. And all disc golf courses that I'm aware of, all disc golfers are always watching for walkers. Rochester's three courses, Slatterly and East Park, are both right on walking trails. The park at Driftless has a bike path that runs through it, has a walking path that runs through it, and also has a fishing area that's nearby. So disc golfers are used to watching for people. So when I say there's a feature that people can walk along, that's kind of been part of the game in municipalities. We're then going to cross over the Craig Fire to there. We then get into this area over here that is completely, well, 99% undeveloped. Mm-hmm. And this is where we come into some of our challenges we may have yet to face as we continue the development of this. And really tonight, I'm really just trying to present how far we've come. This isn't the final proposal yet. I'm just saying this is what's possible. Now let's see what we can actually put together and make into a concrete plan. In this area, we do have some existing paths. What I have drawn out for disc golf placements would take advantage of what is already there. It would require the least amount of additional development of the area, but it incorporates a piece of property right here that is privately owned. The city mows it like twice a year, and the current disc golf course throws over top of it in a park. I think it's meant to come straight out here and over to here, but everybody throws across here to here, and there's been 1,000 discs in this property. So we would have to investigate what is the relationship the city has with the private owner, and can we drop a disc golf basket in here, which would be right on the line of the property, and again would throw over the property as we did it, and then the new tee here would be on the line of the property, city properties this way, but would throw out across that. It's basically just a brush field feet to this placement here. There is this whole area down here has kind of been buck brush. How many of you guys have been back that way? Anybody? I know you have, but it's just basically a fallow field that's had the buck brush grow in it for what? 4 years, 5 years, something like that. If we decide we don't want to mess with this piece of property here, or this just doesn't work out, it's possible to put holes 13 and 14 down in this area. And then wrap back up to here. The course loops up to here, staying away from the playground. We walk to the other side of the playground, come to the far side of the Lions Pavilion, throw out over that retention pond, land back here near the property line, and then throw into these woods, take up this new trail that's Snowmobile Trail?
Yep.
Yep. Got some new culverts in there. Just drop a basket in here, and here would be beautiful holes. Everybody like it. And we finish with a nice long 600-foot hole back over to here and hole one. The nice thing about disc golf courses is they are fairly low maintenance. You don't have a lot of additional mowing around the baskets when the baskets are placed like these are. They're back in tree-covered grottos. They're tucked out of the way. Once you mulch them in with a little bit of wood chips, it's like a once or twice a year maintenance item. Disc golfers who don't throw particularly well tend to keep the weeds down on the edges. And the more players you get, the more that happens. Bear Cave down in Stewartville is an excellent example of that. I did go to industry standards and draw up a proposed budget. And looking at comparable things that we have done, our playgrounds, the newest piece of playground equipment up there. Do you remember what the price tag on that was? Just for the equipment itself, not
just
the install.
Just for the equipment itself was around $60,000.
Right. Playground equipment, very expensive. What I have put together as a cost estimate is actually a high cost estimate. This is pretty much hiring most of the work done, not having the city do much of the work, and certainly not having a lot of volunteers. materials costs, if we get nice brand new baskets, PDGA baskets, the ones we currently have are 30 years old plus, I don't really know. They've been in Cassett ever since I remember, and that was a while back. If we install new baskets, we install professional level signs on 6x6 posts so they don't get vandalized, they don't get pulled up as easily as the current ones have. We're really only looking at a total price tag of around $33,000, which isn't a small amount, but neither is it like putting in one piece of park equipment, which is great for a neighborhood, but doesn't really bring anybody else to town. This will bring people to town. This course, I talked to, as I mentioned, when I talked to the PDGA guy over in Rochester, he said he'd love to have tournaments at this kind of course. It would be a great addition to the region's disc golf courses, and that can bring in 100, 200 people at a time for a professional golf or disc golf tournament. And a regular flow of people would come for the uniqueness of this. Maskin Creek is actually quite beautiful. It's just a little bit of work. Some of these holes, standing where the basket would be, you're looking down over a creek that winds around, and you have this wooded area, and I really think we could turn it into a feature of the town rather than a little backwater where, you know, kids go to hide and build lean-tos and teepees and stuff. So anyway, I'll take questions, I guess, at this point. What questions does it bring up for you?
How many times are you crossing Maston Creek?
So, actual creek crossings take place on hole 7, that's 1.
Yep.
We cross again on 10. You cross back over in between 12 and 13, but that's really just not even a creek crossing. That's more like walk around where the creek flows.
Okay.
And then we cross again here on 18, coming back over that bridge that's there.
So we're looking for essentially another bridge to make a crossing, correct?
The current layout does not require one.
Okay.
I designed it so that we can use what is existing.
Sure, okay.
If we had availability putting another one in, we could redesign the course differently.
Sure.
And maybe that's an option if we... part of the problem with using this down here is trying to make the course loop. And coming back from up here at 12 down this way would almost necessitate a second crossing of some kind.
Sure.
But as I said, if we can work out something with that property owner, some usage, something or other, then.
Yeah, I don't know the relation between the city and that property owner. And I know me and you had discussed prior to this meeting. I actually do believe one of our baskets is technically on his property.
This one right over here?
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
surprising.
I don't know that relationship. I don't see any, me personally doesn't see any issue with crossing his property. I could understand if we have stuff put onto his property. And maybe, Ryan, you can, I don't know, give me some better intel on that property owner.
I can talk to Tim. I don't know who owns the property.
I probably used to know, but
it's what's it say on there?
It doesn't say on this one. I looked it up on the county.
I had it. I don't.
Yeah, I did too. It's just not coming to mind right away.
Is that the person that owns the brown apartments right there next to it?
What's that?
So what's the this DNR going to be involvement in this?
DNR would not be involved because we are not altering anything with the creek.
Okay.
As far as I've been told, we would not have to do anything. The only time you have to do anything with the DNR is if you are adding culverts or a bridge, for instance, since it is a technical waterway.
Well, so, I spoke to the city engineer about that, and he said a similar thing to what you're saying. So yep. Long as we're not interfering with the creek. He said, you know, even if you have a little wet area, like right now there's maybe a little wet area in between here that it's been raining a lot, it's a little low. If you want to put a little culvert in there, he said, just put it in, fill it in, and don't tell me, and it'll be fine. Because you're not changing the creek. You're not changing the waterway. It's one of those just do it and don't say anything things because it isn't a big problem. So a lot of, like, for instance, some of this over right here is a little swampy.
Yeah.
And if you just were to put a little 6-inch culvert from one side to the other side of the swampy, you'd be all set.
Drain tile.
Or you bring in some 1.5 clean, well, for water to flow through, percolate underneath the surface, and wouldn't have that issue either.
So there are a couple concerns that I have. One of them being where, let's see, hole two ends at, right? Mm-hmm. So when you travel from hole two to hole three, those are private owned properties between the two.
They are, but not, they, if you notice the property lines on those end before the creek.
Yep, and I don't.
You can build a little trail right back behind you.
That would have to be, yep. I know one of those is fenced off. I can't remember if they're both fenced off.
It's
so
pretty
I guess,
clear where their property lines are.
Yep, okay, so that I guess that would be my only concern with that.
Yep.
And then as far as on like a city aspect of it, I am kind of concerned about the pond. I agree, it would be a great feature to be throwing over. One of those things that I'm not familiar with is if you bring attention to something that's man-made, what's the liability? You know, I understand that we have waterways and there's all sorts of liabilities, and I get that. But something that we have created on a city side of it, being a pond, you know, that pond's going to hold water all the time. I don't know what the depth of the pond will eventually be. I would have to do research on my end to see what kind of liability we would have with that pond. I know, you know, you go to other communities, you know, some of our ponds are fenced off. Ultimately, I guess, no matter what, you're liable if you're the one that made the pond and you have it fenced off and signed off. I just want to make sure we're not going down a bad road.
Sure.
You know, I agree. I think it would be, I love the fact that you utilize all the quote-unquote wasted space of Lions Park. It would be a fantastic way to utilize the entire park. We got some more work to do as far as on the legal side of it, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. I think you should investigate that. Most of the time when they do put in those retention ponds, they either plan to fence them or they plan them to be on the grade that's considered safe.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't have any drop-offs. That you, as you come down your bottom, you have a, there's a certain slope you have to adhere to.
Yep.
I'm just going from when I built out the Southern Hills, we added 100 and some odd units, and we had to put in the whole retention pond. And we asked those questions. Well, what's our liability with this retention pond? You know, down in the middle of the retention pond, it's 8 feet deep. Somebody can drown, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it turns out that there's engineering specs that you have to build to that help. That if you build to them, you're some ways insulated from that kind of thing, but I think we should definitely check into it.
Absolutely.
Ask Tim about it, say, hey, let's dot our I's on this, cross our T's. So I'm glad you bring it up.
And then, you know, as far as like on the budget side of it, realistically, I think concrete pads are not going to happen, obviously, right away. I think the use of wood chips is a viable option, at least for now. And then as far as, you know, the land improvements, as far as like clear cutting some of those paths, we're going to have to maybe reach out to see if we can get some volunteer help with that. I know some of it, the city can probably help provide the equipment and do some of that to an extent. We're going to need some help to make sure we can cut that cost of $33,000 down. And then as far as the baskets, you know, what are we, is our course a 9-hole course currently?
Yes.
Yes. So I think we look to increase just another 9 baskets for now. And try to make what we have work until we can, you know, do it in phases or transition to increasing it to a better quality.
I think a phased installation is quite possible. I also think it's quite possible that the local disc golf community would be not only willing to work on it, but maybe willing to fundraise to get a more professional course. for instance, if you come to the disc golf community and say, oh, hey, you know, the city's willing to do this part, put in the baskets and do whatever. But if you want concrete pads, because it does change a course, it makes a course from it's an amateur course until it has tee pads. You put wood chips down, that's kind of a halfway, but if it has actual concrete pads, now that's considered a PDGA style course, and it brings a different level of people. And the disc golf community likes it. So if you say to the disc golf community, oh, hey, if you raise this much more money, then we'll put in the concrete pads, we'll go the whole nine yards, I think you might find there's significant money to be made, or raised, I should say. So yeah, staged and phased installation, great. I would. The only thing I'm adding is see what the disc golf community is willing to do too, because we might be able to get more for the city than what the city has to put in. I don't think the city has to put this whole bill.
Sure.
I would want to know the cost for just 9 non-PDGA ones versus just getting the 18. Because if you buy 9 and then in 3 years ago, let's turn it into a bigger deal, let's have it be the PDGA approved ones, and then we've already spent so much to not have the other 9 updated.
Like, kind of like the bundle pack. Is it more beneficial to buy the 18 up front?
Yeah. Versus buying 9 that we really don't want, but they suit our needs, and the other 9 are already 30 years old, or do we just go ahead and replace them all, and then it's updated and ready, and it's...
And I would think that, you know, I know, like, when we are working on getting rid of equipment, I don't know if there's any trade-in value, but I know the city is willing to auction off the current equipment if we're going to buy new, so that could help foot some of that bill. You know, there's got to be some... People that I've seen, tons of people that throw a basket up in their backyard, you know.
Sure. I think this would be a great thing to bring to joint ventures.
Yep. And
some of those things could be like the actual baskets or the signage.
Yep.
I know there's course, maybe if we can do this all together with Manorville and buy the signage at the same time, buy the basket at the same time, maybe that's a better rate. We're buying more. I don't know. I don't work for any of these companies, but...
Can I ask, as far as for the signage, who are you going through, or...
Currently, this is the idea phase. I haven't gotten down to specifics.
Okay, so I guess then my question would be, where did you get the cost for the signs?
Yeah, great question. So when I was looking at comparables, I went to national resellers of municipal disc golf equipment, and I looked for their ranges, and then I tried to pick what's the upper two-third range, because I don't want the cheap stuff.
Yep.
You put cheap stuff on a disc golf course, and all you have is vandalism.
Yep.
And so then that's where I priced them. So there's discgolfstore.com was one. The PDGA website, PDGA.com, was another. Anyway, I just did multiple sites, and then I asked the Rochester guy, who also owns a disc golf store in Michigan and has installed courses in other places, if we were in the right ballpark. And said, yeah, that's about right.
Okay. We do have a lot of local companies, a couple local companies that could... Make those signs.
Can probably get us a deal.
Cast and Laser Graphics, Able Signs. So there could be some cost cut in that, staying local. And that's obviously, once we get to that stage, you know, that's obviously something we would have to bring up with them and see kind of what we could do or what they could do for us. And obviously in that park, you know, you had brought to the attention of vandalism. That is a notorious park for vandalism.
Sure.
Another thing that I see beneficial about having this is that with these holes being on the outskirts of the park, there's going to be a lot more traffic in those hidden areas.
True.
And hoping that mitigates some of the, you know, rowdy behavior, the vandalism. Is it going to? I don't know. Does anyone else have any questions, concerns on this? I could keep going because I got more.
I like the idea of making it an 18 hole. I like the idea that it's going to bring in people. I know Tyler over at the middle school, he has talked about our discourse for a while. He's part of the group helping with Manorville, so I think it's probably a good time to revisit this and
maybe partner up.
Find ways to improve it, but if there's a way to get joint ventures included, because that could impact, it could help Manorville, it could help Kasson. Yep. Maybe if we're buying our resources all together, maybe it saves money for everyone. I think that's the purpose of joint ventures. I know Manorville has benefited greatly. The school has benefited greatly. Is it our turn yet?
Between us and the school, it is definitely our turn.
Yeah, I think that might...
Right now, and this goes into the next topic. I don't want to keep going, but I really truly think that this is a good addition for Lions Park, mainly because it's utilizing the entire property that we cannot utilize otherwise. How are we, you know, biggest things are some of the liabilities. Obviously, that property that we don't own. I don't see any issue with it, but I want to make sure, like, you know, if we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's and making sure everything's kosher. Obviously, there's going to be quite a maintenance side of setting it up, right? Brush clearing and all that jazz. If we can get some volunteered help, that would be super. And then kind of like Ryan said, you know, maybe it's better to purchase all 18 baskets rather than just do 9 at a time. Or, you know, like you said, partnering with Manorville and seeing if we can go in on something together. My only concern is, as much as I really truly think that this is a fantastic project, is the concern of other groups, which I'm finding out that I have to deal with. Pickleball is one of them. We have one court.
Manorville has a new pickleball court.
That is not operational.
Not yet.
I got an update on that.
Okay.
It'll be operational by the end of the week.
Do you know, maybe this isn't the place for it, but do you know what the holdup was?
The sound barriers.
So they have a staged opening. They're going to open as soon as they've ordered a sign. As soon as the sign is in, they're going to open the course. Our church has sponsored a bucket that will be filled with quiet balls. They can play with quiet balls until they get the sound barriers put up, which they just received the funding for, or actually Friends of Manorville just received a funding grant for. Those will be up probably by the end of summer.
Okay,
but until then, the pickleball court will be open. It'll just be open with silent balls only or quiet balls. They bounce like pickleballs, but they don't ping like pickleballs.
Sure. So that'll at least help mitigate the need for pickleball.
Is that one court or is that two?
Four courts. Or is it three with a warm-up area?
Yeah, I haven't been on it.
I think it was three with a warm-up area.
That could be.
I think one thing to think about when any group comes to us, and I think of back to when Sarah came with the swing idea.
Yep.
Anytime a group comes to us, they're always about how much can we spend and not how much can they help bring in. I thought Sarah did a really good job of fundraising, bringing in revenue for that park feature at North Park. Yep. For our ADA families that wanted that support. And I think it's awesome we have that. But we have a lot of groups that come in and just say, we want. Well, we have a very limited budget. And so anytime a group comes in and says, hey, we're willing to do this, or we have this, we want to help. We've heard it from the skate park people a year or two ago. They came in and said, we want to update the skate park. Haven't heard anything since because they didn't raise any funds. I think everyone needs to have a little bit of skin in the game, and if pickleball wants to come and say they want more pickleball courts, well, what are you doing to bring in more? Because they're not cheap, right? Like, this is half the cost of one pickleball court.
Correct.
Right? And this is an 18-hole course versus half a pickleball court.
I think, Johan, obviously you have a good relation with the disc golf community. I think everyone here, unless I'm mistaken, is pretty on board with this project. If there's some things that you can do to reach out to that disc golf community to see if there's any fundraising that they would be willing to take over or volunteering, you know, I really have no problem in moving forward with this.
Good, yeah.
I love it, so.
It feels a little unique in that I think it really would bring in new people. People would come to Cassin. So then the businesses are going to be interested in that. And maybe the businesses are interested in sponsoring holes or
signage, yeah. I mean,
they're going to get more traffic,
yeah,
probably.
Like at a golf course, we go up to the golf course and hole five is sponsored by Bigelow, yeah, or whatever.
I mean, that's the biggest thing is I look at it. I mean, disc golf isn't far off from golf. I mean, obviously there's different concepts as far as what you're, how you're approaching it, but, you know, the Legion could benefit from it. The Tammys could benefit from it. If they're having tournaments, we could have food trucks down there that are benefiting from it. Obviously, this is looking a lot further out than where we're at right now, but I do see a good benefit to Cassin and the community with this.
So along those lines, if I were to ask for one thing tonight, it would be permission to start clearing some weeds. For instance, on that course, throwing from the sign that's out by the highway down into the woods. I mentioned that grotto with the big tree. There is giant weed patch there, and it's just behind the current hole. We could start building momentum in the disc golf community by taking and having some volunteers go in there, whack all those thorns down, and just clear a patch and say, here would be the basket. Or maybe even just bring in somebody's practice basket and set it there, knowing that you probably have to take it out, otherwise somebody's going to steal it, but whatever. You know, if the disc golf community sees that this is a project that is being seriously considered, and maybe some preparations are being done by people who like, it'll start to build the kind of momentum that would help towards fundraising, I think.
Honestly, I'm not sure what authority I actually truly have in my position.
You'd probably have to go to council, right?
Maybe. Ryan's probably the best judge for that.
I'll ask Tim.
Okay. I personally,
we have a meeting tomorrow.
If I do have any say in it, and obviously we should vote on this, but I have your full support to move forward. The only thing I ask is any brush clearing, if we can make piles so that my crew can come in and remove them.
Oh, you're willing to come in and remove them? That's awesome.
mainly because we have, with that snowmobile bridge, obviously you know where that is. Mm-hmm. We've had to do some removals, and we've walked down that creek, and it's a dammed up nightmare. You know, the next time it's flood, it's going to flood, like bad. So any thing that we remove, I would like to actually remove from the park and pile up. Now, awesome. My crew would be more than happy to, you know, facilitate loading it and getting it out of there. As far as, you know, work to be done or clearing, we're fairly busy, obviously, with this year. But we're happy to help in any way, shape, or form with free time. But I think, obviously, Ryan, you're going to have to talk with Counselor Tim and see what kind of avenues we have to take.
So I'm going to just throw this out there. So if we get approval to go and do some clearing, are you familiar with the, like, trail mower walk behind brush hog that, you know, if it can push over a sapling, it'll knock it off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are nice.
You know, we've got one at the store. It's brand new.
Awesome.
I can donate that, or I can bring our used one back from our shoreline over in Faribault that I took. The old one says here's, because we knock down a bunch of brush so we can put our boat trailers in a certain area, and every year it grows it up, and so I just decided to leave it out there for the shoreline. I can bring that back so I can donate, you know, a machine to do, like I said, it'll knock down a 2-inch sapling. If it can push it over, it'll cut it off.
Oh, that would be, that would
just kind of have something to do it. So I'll be willing to, you know, if you want to get in there and do some clearing and it's a self-propelled unit, you know, I can make arrangements to, you know, allow that to be used by an adult or something. So
that's super. That'll make it a whole lot better than being out there with a machete and a little push mower.
And once it gets knocked down, it's, you know, it's, you can walk over the top real easily. And
like
fine tune some stuff.
You know, the more foot traffic you have on it, the more the weeds stayed out.
Oh, yeah. Once you have the course and people are coming to it, you don't really have to worry about that too much. Bear Cave Park down in Stewartville. Yep. Used to be all weeds, and then it got popular. Disc golf got popular around 2000, 2010. You go down there now, there's hardly a weed in between the holes anywhere.
And to be honest with you, I can vouch for that. Years ago, I used to go out there all the time. And you're right. It's nothing but clearing, and there's trails where, you know, your not average disc golfers whip them into the woods, and I was one of them. So I can attest to what you're saying. What kind of motion can I? Do we need to make a motion for this?
I think we asked him what the protocol is. If we need to, we can always. I don't think there needs to be a motion for anything because we're not spending any money. We're not moving anything. We're just simply saying, yep,
go in there. Ask permission to clear an area to help start clearing some paths.
Well, Ryan can be in touch with me, and then I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. And you'll probably be at the meeting tomorrow, I assume, anyway.
I will be, yeah.
Okay, never mind. I'm out.
So all that, we can ask him tomorrow.
Okay.
If he's here tomorrow. I haven't looked to see if he's on the agenda for his admin report, so I'm assuming he'll be there.
So then something to look forward to like next meeting or maybe the one after is if we're going to make an ask of the disc golf community to raise some of these funds, we should also make an ask of council what they might be willing to do.
Right.
If we're going to get serious about making it happen, that's the next step, at least in my mind. What's council willing to do? What would they expect of the disc golf community and see what we can do?
And I'll be honest with you, and I'm still learning the ins and outs of how the city works and operates. This year is probably not an option as far as funds.
It wasn't in the budget to be
right. When we so started I would the say budget. When I go to do budget for the 2027 season, that's an option. We can, and which would actually give us some time to actually dial in what is, you know, asked of the city as far as financial help
gives you time
versus
to fundraise.
What we can actually facilitate from a voluntary side.
So, install in 2027, or that would be the goal?
That would be the goal. Realistically, if we could get started tomorrow, let's do it. That's kind of...
Well, we can. You said, staged and stepped, right?
Yep. So
here's our proposed course, and we have a few practice baskets out there. Try it out.
Obviously, the first step is let's talk to council. Let's see what's asked, and then we start, right? We'll have to figure out some of those liability issues, the property owning issues, which, are probably kind of minimal because we can kind of adjust things as we go. But if you got an idea where we want to start, let's start as soon as we get the go at,
I think some of the clearing areas, that's on city land and not even adjacent to property or crossing property, I think that's a no-brainer. If we say this is a goal, let's start clearing some stuff. If it doesn't happen,
haven't lost anything, right?
Right, haven't lost anything, right. But, some of the course, some of the holes that do cross, things that may be in somewhat of a question, probably have a backup of saying, okay, if this isn't really going to be over the pond or crossing that property, have a backup plan, say, well, this is where we could now change that hole and not change the rest. But I think as long as it's...
And it kind of sounded like you have some alternative plans if things aren't going to necessarily work out for some of them.
Get around disc golfers; they're full of ideas.
Yep. And that's fantastic. We got it's a blank slate, it's untouched property as far as a disc golf, course.
So, yep.
No, I'm excited to, this is probably one of the bigger projects that we can move forward with that we don't have to invest a lot.
I don't think, the investment is minimal. And you might be surprised. Somebody may say, here's $10,000. Or a group, or you gather, it's like, well, a third of it's paid for, if that's, the feasible dollars, And I say, if you get joint venture, it says, well, here's 10 grand, and next thing you know, you just got to find 10 more or something. But
figure out where Manderville's at, too, to see if we can piggyback on some of this to save money for everybody. I think that's not a bad option, too.
Okay.
Thanks for letting me present, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Johan.
Thank you for the work you did on this.
Okay, so the next thing is joint ventures, which I've been really eager to get to since Ryan's been bringing it up. We had a joint ventures meeting a couple weeks back. We purchased a piece of equipment for the ball fields between Cass and Manorville and the schools. It was a $38,000 piece of equipment to drag and maintain ball fields. Realistically, it's going to benefit the school more than anyone, but ultimately it does benefit all entities involved because we can all use that piece of equipment.
It's a drag for the dirt areas a lot.
Yes, it levels out the field, it breaks them down, some of the things that we aren't able to do with the equipment that we have. Which that kind of piggybacks into my next talk is the school superintendent has been attending our joint ventures meetings. It sounds like the school is kind of in disarray as far as funding. She's obviously under a lot of stress with being new to the school system and everything. She had asked for no contributions to be made for this season of 2026.
And typically,
we
all of the joint vendors.
Yep. So, Casson puts in $10,000 a year. The school puts in $10,000 a year. Manorville puts in $5,000. And they've been doing this every year since.
Which probably
2009.
I was gonna say it's probably been 15 years. So.
Manorville just spent their $5,000 on a road last night. They literally took the money from that was going to be for joint ventures, and they spent it to fix a road. Okay. So they're not contributing either this
year. So that's kind of where I was going to get at is I will have, that's kind of where I'm, let's, there's some priorities, right? We have a Casson Veterans Memorial that we've been working on. $10,000 obviously isn't going to get us any much further than where we're at. $10,000 might get us a lot further with the disc park. I don't know if I have any real say in where that $10,000 goes. I think ultimately it comes down to Tim's decision. I really, that's kind of new. Regardless, we made a motion at Joint Ventures to not contribute to that account for the 2026 year.
Casson did too?
All entities,
okay.
So that actually kind of, that left our, I guess that left the bank account for joint ventures at $20,000 to $30,000 standing after the piece of equipment has been purchased. So I think everyone at joint ventures is going to be cautious about any upcoming projects with us not putting in for that 2026 season, right? I don't think, I had no problem going to joint ventures with the disc park proposal. I think if we were to move forward with the disc park proposal to joint ventures, that Johan, I would prefer you to be present for that, which obviously I would assume you would love to be.
Sure.
To realistically to go in there with a dollar amount of maybe $5,000 would probably be a better ask than anything more than that.
Because there's still that pool of money that's there.
There is, but like I said, after they, you know, joint ventures just approved the purchase of the drag for $38,000.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot more questions or concerns about spending any more money. But Casson is due. Okay. Casson is due for something out of joint ventures. I have not asked for anything other than equipment that we share with all entities. You know, Manorville put in the ice rink and the basketball court, and there was some donations for that band shelter also. So right now it's kind of between the school and the city of Cass and of who's up next. But like I said, there's going to be a lot, people are going to be a little bit more tight about that budget or that dollar amount they're willing
to. Well, and I think you're right. Going in with a $5,000 ask is different than saying, can you pay for half?
Right.
And then you got something, you know, a drag is, you know, I don't want to say it wasn't the right purchase.
So I kind of want to nip some of this in the butt now. When I started my position, I was under the assumption that joint ventures was a collaboration between Manorville, the school, and Caston to purchase equipment that one entity solely could not purchase or could not convince a council or a committee to buy.
That's how it used to be.
Right? Okay. That was my impression.
Okay.
A drag is not something, or even, let's go back, a roller is not something council would have allowed me to purchase unless I had planned maybe year one of three to finance for it or whatever maybe, where, you know, yes, it was only $12,000, which, I mean, guess in my mind that's a lot of money, but from all three entities, that's pretty minuscule for what we contribute a year. But then it's turned into, you know, back in the day, Ronnie did Lions Park with the basketball court and the pickleball court. Whatever dollar amount was contributed for that, which is great. It is benefiting all communities, realistically. You know, the Manorville basketball court and the hockey arena does benefit all communities.
Sure, yeah.
But like I said, I was under the impression that when it was started, that it was for equipment.
Equipment, not for facilities.
Right.
That's probably changed. And now it's 7 years ago.
Yes.
And now it's changed.
I see that on the list of assets or whatever.
Yeah, you can see that change.
And I don't want it to turn in, for lack of better terms, I don't want it to turn into a pissing match of who wants what more. And it's kind of gotten to that point, but realistically, the city or the school is up for something, right? Whatever we have for a project. And I'd be willing to go to bat for the disc park. I just think, you know, we got to come up with a reasonable amount to ask for that's not the whole cost of it.
A reasonable amount that you think you can ask for to get.
How much did the Manorville get for the hockey rink?
Oh, between the hockey rink and the basketball court, it was $30,000.
How much? And that's how much they got from joint ventures, or yes. That? Okay, because we donate, we put in 10, correct?
Correct.
I missed this. Sorry, I had to go to the bathroom. And they donate 5.
Yes.
So we're already double them.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I think.
So we have over.
Can you send me
the joint ventures.
I'd like to go to the next meeting.
Okay. So we have over 190,000. Invested into joint ventures and along with the city of Caston, City Manorville has 90.
Yeah, I'll talk to Beth because the last two superintendents won't let me go and then stay past a certain time because you guys have it like at 7:30 in the morning.
7:30.
And I start work at 7:30 because I'm on that committee, but the last two soups won't let me go to it and then have someone else watch my kids at 8.
Okay.
So I'll talk to Beth. Cause
I'll get you.
I'd like to attend.
Because I would like to put that disc part, on the agenda for the next meeting. And Johan, I'll get you the information of when our next meeting is and see if you're available to attend.
See if you can get us in first. So I like to be at the school no later than 8 o'clock.
Okay.
So as long as we're in the 7 to 8 o'clock frame,
great. Okay. I'll see what I can do and we'll go from there. I guess first things first, let's see what happens at council or what you can get from council information.
Yeah.
And Johan, you can probably share that with me after council tomorrow.
Sure. A couple things that just crossed my mind is, what's the advantage to keeping money in that account? I mean, why not? Why not spend it? Do we need does that group need a fund in reserve?
I don't know, but I look at it as like sick and vacation time, right? I'm afraid to use it because I don't want to see it go. I just think that's kind of like I think that's most people's mentality is you don't want to see that bank account get drained down to nothing in 1 year because we weren't donating and we had to spend money on things. I think there's always that concern from all parties. I think realistically, a $5,000 ask is not much.
Right.
Considering
not compared to what you've already invested, got very little from.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I think it's doing the number you need to do that.
Correct.
And if everybody else has been doing projects for $30,000, why not ask for a lot?
I mean, $25,000 a year, it takes a lot. You could use it up every year.
Right.
Almost balance your budget back down to zero every year. So here's the project you got to do. So I'm not in the joint venture side, but
it's hard because there are projects that sometimes their wish list includes a new baseball scoreboard that's $100,000 or a football one that's TV on it.
I will say the baseball the baseball scoreboard is one of the major topics and has been since I started. And it has not gotten very far yet.
It's not going to.
But I think our ask is a realistic ask. We're not asking for the moon. And maybe I'm shooting $5,000 a little low. Maybe we go, I don't disagree. But I think I would love to get a little bit more. And Johan, you said, you kind of have that budget estimated high, which is perfect. That's what you always want when you go in to make a proposal. You'd rather have it come in cheaper.
It's high because I'm almost 100% certain we can get a lot of labor donated.
Yep. I think if we can really dial in where we're at with that, and maybe even what the city would contribute. I know, joint ventures and probably most other things want to see that company that's asking for the money. Are they vested in it to some extent? What are they going to provide? So as long as we could give them a dollar amount or what, whether that's the cost of doing the labor, realistically, you're paying my guys to go in there and help clear brush or, load it into trucks and then bring it out to the shop.
We almost need to have a clarity on what joint ventures parameters are again.
I tried getting that last meeting.
They need to revise so all three entities can understand, is it a benefit for, in this case, like the drag is just for ball fields.
Now
it doesn't benefit the community, but
it'd be a good time to revisit that with a new superintendent, a fairly new mayor in Manorville, a fairly new mayor in Casson.
And I brought that to their attention at our last meeting, like I said, which was a couple weeks ago, and basically vented to them that I was on the understanding that this was
for equipment,
for equipment. And if it's not, that's fine, but I want to know
need clarity. What is this? And I can, and I don't want to say it's wrong, but I can see the joint ventures, so all three entities are going to, not donate this year.
Yep.
We're going to skip a year. Okay, so next, they're going to skip 2027 because something else comes up. And next, there's 3 years that nobody's paying in, so they're, where does the, skip once, skip twice, shame on me, but does this go away? Because you can bank this $10,000 easily for
it. I am fairly nervous about deciding not to put in for the year 2026. Ultimately, it's not one person's decision, but
I battled with that when I was on the Manorville Council.
Sure.
There's positives of the joint ventures. I'd be one to sit down and talk with Beth and just see what her mission is on it.
I think at the point when Beth was there, she had a lot on her plate.
Yeah.
And she wasn't quite on the understanding of what joint ventures was. She saw a fairly large quantity of money in an account when she's struggling to make some ends meet on the school side of it, which I understand, but at the same time, she wasn't under the understanding that this isn't the school's money, this isn't Manorville's money, this isn't Cass's money, this is our group's money.
So whose is it?
Right.
How do you get to
use it? Taxpayers' money.
Touche.
Technically.
Yep.
So we're taking it from the citizens of Cass and Manorville, and the school takes it from the citizens, and then you pool it together but it has changed in the last 10 years from buying it. It's ebbed and flowed between buying equipment to buying nets for a baseball batting cage to
buying a batting cage
to buying and supporting the Kelly Raymond's basketball court over in Lions Park, which is a great addition. Like, there have been some great things they've purchased with it. Just having a plan with that budget ahead of time would be good with a new superintendent.
Having a plan so people don't feel bad asking for their fair share.
Right.
You know, what's the plan?
Okay.
Oh, and the city, correct me if I'm wrong, the city now has $10,000 in its budget that is unallocated because they're not contributing that which they budgeted.
Yes. Or not. Did I miss that part?
Yeah, you did. We are not contributing to the 2026 season.
No one is.
No one is. Manorville, Casson, or...
Okay, so it's frozen right now. It's paused. Okay. Correct. All right, that's as long as everyone is on the same page. I was going to say, I never went to council, so that's now. Yeah.
If joint ventures would sponsor the baskets and the city would take what they're going to invest in joint ventures and say, we'll put this towards course improvements, I'm pretty sure that the disc golf community could raise $5,000 to $10,000 and we could put the whole course in professional concrete pads and all.
Sure. Obviously, this is some. Tim's obviously been out for a while, and he comes back, and I'm sure he's gonna have his plate full right when he gets back. Unfortunately,
yeah. Which budget is that $10,000 in, and where can it even go?
Right. So there's some uncertainty with that because I'm not super familiar with if I can even allocate that to the...
No, but they can. You say, well, if we're going to donate to, you know, joint ventures, well, here's 10 grand, here's a project.
But needless to say, we're not in projects. a crucial rush to get this completed or to essentially get the answers. When Tim can get back and get acclimated and maybe his plate calms down a little bit, I can actually sit down and talk to him with it.
And we can understand more where that 10 grand sitting.
Yeah.
And when you bring your budget for next year to council, have this in there.
Yep.
For 2027, so that we can talk about when we have our work session.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to move on to old business. I'm going to try to keep this quick. We're getting kind of long here. We'll go through Casson Aquatic Center maintenance updates. We are starting to get the pool open. We drained some water out of the lap pool today and try to get it dried out and cleaned out so that we can start doing the pitting, the resurfacing of the pitting areas. We got to resurface the diving boards and some of the steps on the water slides, or up to the water slides. One other thing is there has been some discrepancy with us and Superior on the operations of our boilers for the pool. They have been running at, you know, this way for so long. My most senior guy at the pool or at the city he's said for as long as I can remember, this is how it's been done. Well, Superior had, you know, basically the opposite view on how it was run. Long story short, Newman Pools, who had created and developed and installed the pool, I'm setting up a meet with them to come down and do an overall inspection on the pool maintenance side of it. They'll have every tool we can ever imagine. They have sonar flow detectors to make sure that all of our systems are working properly. They'll go through and make sure that the heaters are working properly or they're getting the right amount of flow to the heaters. Something that I feel like needs to be done with the pool that's getting to that stage.
So they can reset the expectations of this is how it was decided to run.
It would be just a peace of mind for me, I guess, to know do we have a flow sensor that's been going bad and we never knew, or, you know, things like that. So I did reach out to them last week. They reached back out to me. Their tech guy is supposed to be reaching back out to me. Obviously, you know, they're not going to come until the pool's open and operational so that they can actually read all those readings. But it would be, I think it's going to be fairly expensive, but it's going to be a peace of mind to make sure that, you know, everything is operating the way it should.
Well, I think that's a good way, because Newman, you know, they built it, they did it, and yeah. We've been having somebody else trying to maintain it. That's not their stuff.
And they have all the information on it.
Yep.
You know, I called the gentleman, and he ended up calling me back. He's like, yeah, I'll pull up your digital file. So they have everything that
we I think it's a good, get back to the original, say, you guys take a look. Because, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, the other maintenance hasn't done their job, but, you know, if they're saying we're doing it, if they're starting to say we're doing this wrong, it's like, okay, let's talk to the builder on this thing.
And we only know so much. You know, if we turn a valve here, it changes everything. And I don't think people really understand that. If we want to increase the flow to our heater and we have to turn a valve, it changes all of our readings for everything. And that's what, like,
just Superior, getting back on the same page. The yeah, Superior. So
it would be nice to get a professional's point of view with their equipment to read our system.
Not saying Superior isn't, but
no, but Superior
didn't. They didn't build it. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Okay. So I guess that's just really an update. Okay. Oh, and then the tot slide. Before we had that fairly large winter storm that we got blessed with, we also had some wind storms. There was some damage. I shouldn't say damage. It essentially took the tot slide and blew it across the pool, kind of. Tot slide's fine. No cracks, no damages. But it did ruin the pipe for water to come out. We managed to find a tool to remount the PVC going into the concrete, so we do not have to, like, break out concrete and replace anything. So just kind of, there's some minor setbacks, but we're moving forward and everything is going to happen. The next thing is, I did have a gal reach out to me. She has a deaf child who also has some special needs. She had asked about flotation devices for her child during normal pool operating hours. I know that has been a fairly large topic of discussion in the past. I don't know how to approach it. I told her I would talk with the park board, mainly because there was, from what I was told the last time this was a topic, is that there was some liability issues with wearing life jackets.
I think I remember that. You know, does a life jacket properly fit? Is it properly put on? If something does happen, who becomes liable? So
I do know that at one point it was talked about how if a child has a life jacket on, that the parent no longer pays attention because they assume that
they're safe.
Have you reached out to any of the other local pools?
I haven't yet. I figured I would.
I think that's where we start.
You guys.
I think we get some feedback from other pool managers from other cities that have pools that might be dealing with this. We just put in a new swing for children with special needs. I think it would behoove us to try to find a way to
accommodate
this in our pool, but also by following the rules and making sure we're not liable.
Yep.
So we have a rule you can't wear a flotation device, is that right?
Yeah, we have a set time where life jackets are accepted.
Well, so you have a period where you can have them and a period where
life jackets and other floaties and
So like during your normal open swim, we do not accept that.
Tot time?
Tot time is accepted.
Could that be so
and
during
she
tot
had time. Talked about it, but her kids are outgrowing tot time.
Maybe it's tot time slash, because the other side of the pool is completely open.
Right.
Tot time slash other family.
I will just reach out to other pools or facilities and see kind of.
Just see how they handle it.
Or if even that's been a question. I think it's silly that we don't even, attempt to do something to help these families out.
And it's reality is what it is. It's the reality of.
People. But I also, like you said, Ryan, I want to make sure we're covering ourselves and we're doing the right thing. As much as, you know, I want to help everyone out, what's realistic?
The balance between when you have JLH there and you have 200 kids in the pool,
right,
is that going to be a good time to have a student that needs to have that flotation device be in the pool? Is it,
right,
is it a safety issue versus doing it during tot time and you have more space?
Yeah, because I think her concern was she's got two other kids that are well off, and they have outgrown tot time.
Yeah,
And she, it's hard, obviously, for a mom, it's hard to bring one child and have, what do you do with the other two? They're too old for tot time, or, you know.
Yeah.
So I will try to do my best to do some research and try to figure out what other facilities do, but I think it would be smart for us to try to accommodate if we can.
Yep.
Next on our list is lifeguard certification. So thankfully for my maintenance staff, we have pushed out our opening. So lifeguard certification is now taking place Memorial Weekend. Hopefully it works out. I don't know what kind of draw or if it's going to work for most kids. The biggest thing that I have found in the past is there are a lot of tournaments over the weekends, whether it's softball, baseball, track, you know, you got prom, you got Mother's Day, things like that. And I'm hoping that Memorial Weekend is the best weekend for these kids to get certified.
Other people were counting on getting certified then in order to work this summer?
Correct. Yep. And obviously I send out other opportunities for them to get certified at other facilities, which is usually earlier in the year. But this is kind of like that. If you can't go anywhere, you know, our facility is still going to offer it. We do obviously offer, if our staff doesn't fill the slots, we offer it to Dodge Center, whomever would like to be certified. So that's just kind of a new thing. And then our staff meeting is May 30th, which actually I think is working out better from what I've been told, because a lot more of the staff is going to be able to attend it because of
end of the school years.
Yes. So I'm hoping that this kind of system works a little bit better. And like I said, from a staffing or from a maintenance side of it, we are a week and a half later to have to get the pool filled, which is nicer for my guys and nicer for the heat bill for the city. So, let's see. Any questions on that?
No.
Boulevard program, we're full. I think I had 37 boulevard trees to be requested this year. So we did really good. I actually had to turn down a few people because I was going to be over budget. So that's kind of exciting.
With all the new development?
You know, I would say it's a 50-50 split between new and old. I would love to see, you know, actually it kind of, some of the folks that lived in the new development, they said, well, I'm going to talk to my neighbor and see if they want to get involved. Because there's, you know, some people don't know about it, and it kills me because we saturate our ability to promote it. It's newsletters, it's Facebook, it's the website, which obviously it's work, but then there's some people who have no idea. It's like, well, you've had a lot of opportunities to find it.
Word of mouth, talking to neighbors.
Yep.
It's a program that's been here for a very long time.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's see. Arbor Day is this Friday. So anyone who wants to attend, it's at Lions Park at 10 a.m. I have picked two spots on the west side of the pickleball court to plant the two trees.
Yeah, those are marked already,
aren't they? Yep, I put markers or lath out. Undecided on the trees yet. We're going to go pick up, see what Whitey's has tomorrow. We're going to go pick up the two trees tomorrow. Lions did donate $300 for the trees, so I thank them again. They've always been a wonderful supporter in the Arbor Day.
It's supposed to be nice weather Friday? Or?
Yes, Thursday p.m. rain.
Okay.
So it'll be nice because I planted in a lot of rainy, cold days now.
So you want the entire middle school there to?
No.
Okay.
Because actually, I don't know if I'm going to be there.
Speech.
I have two guys that are well, and they can do speech.
Okay.
Let's see. Lastly, the KVM update. We're almost done with the Facebook page. The Dodge County Veterans Officer is the one kind of creating our Facebook page and getting everything to link together. Did I speak with you guys about meeting with the Legion about the existing memorial?
That they want to put something.
Yeah, they want to move ties.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I think maybe I talked about it before I had met with them.
Okay.
So I guess if I had already talked to you about it, I'll just recap. I was under the impression that they wanted to keep the existing or move the entire existing. Had a meeting with them. They basically just wanted to save something from it. So kind of convinced them to talk about, can we incorporate the old with the new somehow? There's a fairly long walking path up to what would be the new memorial. If we can have little tidbits of the existing memorial or some history on the existing memorial, they were more than happy to have that. So I was kind of happy that they weren't under the impression that we had to save the entire memorial.
Sure.
It's obviously fairly dilapidated, and it would be quite hard and extensive and expensive to save. So it was kind of nice to hear that. They have our full backing. They want to help us any way, shape, or form. And then they are going to have, once we set a date of removal or tear down of the existing memorial so we can start the construction of the new, they want to have essentially like a decommissioning memorial
ceremony or something.
Yep, ceremony for that. So once that kind of gets set in place, obviously I'll let everyone know here kind of what that's going to entail. And then kind of something that I guess I didn't know about, and it's probably a little bit more on my not paying attention, I guess. Gambling taxes go to, there's a percentage that goes to the parks.
I would wait on that.
Okay.
We collect funds from the four entities in town that do charitable gambling, fishing club, the hockey program, Dodge County Hockey,
yep,
the Fire Department's Relief Association, and the Legion. They have to provide a monthly statement of how much they bring in.
Yep.
And
there's like
the state statute, I don't want to use the word small.
Okay, sorry.
they'll get mad at you. The state statute says we can take 10% of their gross and keep it in-house, but the project has to be something for kids under 21 in the community.
Okay.
It can't be just put aside for just anything. It has to be a set project. But we're working. We're still kind of fine-tuning things. We dropped it to 1%. Fee just for filing fees instead of three. It's a state statute that's fairly new.
Okay.
A lot more big cities are doing it, and
so this is quite new.
It is the groups, and I don't know if we've even cashed the checks yet. I don't know if we have, but they're not really happy right now, and I understand why.
Okay.
So just I won't get any plans for that yet.
And I guess I didn't have plans for it. It was more or less, I knew that you would be here, and it was something that you could at least share a little more information on than what I have.
Yeah.
I was just, part of it was I was curious if, is that something that could be put towards the Veterans Memorial?
Probably not, because it's not for kids. It's not, the money's designed to, for your youth, and they can start at 21 and under.
And
there's a set. There's a.
I'd be curious to see what the rules is, because you can, I guess, go back and say, well, it is technically for the youth because it's a learning experience for the youth with veterans, and I don't know what they all are, and I'm not going to get into it as far as that. And if it's very new, well, then obviously we're going to hear more about it down the road.
Yeah, it's. I had the PDF. I don't know where I have it, but it's.
I thought it used to be higher than 10%. Was it?
the state takes like 30, but cities now can also collect. And the purpose of behind that is you could raise $100,000 in town doing pull tabs, and you could gross $100,000, and you could take $100,000 of it and go to Rochester and donate to a cause in Rochester, even though you did all the fundraising here. The goal is to keep the money in the community that it's fundraised in. It's hard to know how much fundraised money is there when those organizations don't tell the cities. They have to report it to the state. They were supposed to tell the cities, but they weren't, and now the statute allows the city, any city in Minnesota that has charitable gambling allows, and within their city limits, that 10%.
Seems like the 10% I thought was much higher back in the day, because that's when the Softball Association, I think we were in pull tabs, when Diggers was Diggers, with Schwenke out there. But that's 30 years
ago. Things have changed.
Yeah. It just seems like we had to leave a lot more money to the city, you know, for in-community type stuff. But like I said, that's water under the bridge. But
okay. Well, I guess obviously that'll get tabled till we get some more information or it becomes more
that's a possibility.
Fine-tune.
Well, disc golf is a under 21 age.
Yes, it is.
Well, if that's something that if that's a possibility that I can utilize towards.
Yeah, where is that fine
line?
It
goes towards anyone youth under 21, organizations provided to the city does not retain control of these funds. So they don't control it. It can be for scholarship funds, to relieve, to help with homelessness, disabilities, homeless shelters. There's a bunch of different things. To program for education, prevention, and treatment of problem of gambling. There's a whole bunch of different things in here. I'll send you the link, Ben, so you can read it.
I would be appreciated.
It's just a one-pager.
I'm sure it's pretty vague, but...
It is.
I've
brought it up to the council that maybe 10% is a little high, just because we, like the fishing club, it's all run by fundraising. And I understand where they're coming from. My solution was you only take a percent of the money that if you get it donated to you, if you're going to take it to Rochester and give it to like the Realm of Dollhouse, then 10% of that gets brought back.
Right.
Not money that stays here. Money you're going to donate outside of city limits. Maybe the 10% is fair, but I personally don't see a point to take the money from an organization if they're going to keep it within the city limits and it was donated by the people in the city.
Sure.
But the statute's there. We're using it right now. We just haven't spent the money, so it's a work in progress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a possible opportunity or option.
Could be.
There might be some possible.
I sent you the link.
Okay. Do we have any correspondence?
Maddie Hansen get a hold of you?
Yes.
Okay.
So we are going to move forward. I did just tell her, I said tentatively we will, June 3rd, we will have a pool party for the middle school classes like we did last year. I just said I have to make sure that staffing is a possibility for that day. They loved it. We enjoyed it.
Kids liked it in their ear that way. Yeah.
It was an opportunity for us to utilize the pool when it's not getting utilized. So, other than that, can I get a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Can I get a second?
A second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone.
Yes. Good meeting.
You're welcome.